All right, so we're going to continue our exploration of keeping ego out of interactions. And so to practice that, would you find someone you do not know and have not spoken with and partner up with them, please? If you want to leave some space spread out a little bit. Yeah? Just spread out a little bit. If a few folks would just in the middle get up and move out, that would be helpful.
We're just saying you can spread out a little in between the pairs.
Okay.
Mark needs a partner?
We're clearly missing someone. Who's missing?
I think they might be coming.
Yeah, okay. Well, hang on a second.
Here comes your partner, Mark.
Can we go get them? I think they might have decided to.
Okay.
Ken, Jen's going.
Jen, I got
it. All right. So for this activity, you're going to have a conversation with your partner about breakfast. About breakfast. Yeah? And you can say whatever you want about breakfast. So decide between the two of you who's going to initiate the conversation.
What's the conversation?
The conversation about breakfast. You're having a conversation about breakfast. Yeah? So who's going to initiate the conversation?
Okay. I think we're actually.
Yeah? Okay. And so when the bell rings, you're going to start to talk. And you'll go back and forth as you would in the conversation. At some point, I'm going to call out an emotion. And when I do, you continue the conversation in the tone of the emotion. So you're going to start having a conversation as soon as the bell rings. At some point, I'm going to call out an emotion. And your job is to continue to have that conversation in the tone of the emotion.
Are we reflecting?
No, just like you're just having a conversation, as if you were walking along talking about breakfast. And at some point, I'll call out an emotion, and you have the conversation in the tone of the emotion. Lisa?
And both people should have that tone.
Yes, both of you will have that tone.
And we're not going on and clarifying.
Nope, you're just having a conversation.
But it is a back and forth.
It's a back and forth. Yeah, so you stop and they pick up. It was like you're talking to somebody not in the privileged environment. Clearest way of saying it. Normal, yes.
Normal.
A normal conversation about breakfast. And if it wanders to your walk or whatever, just have a conversation. Start with breakfast.
In the other world.
You're welcome to record if you wish. All right. So, person who is initiating the conversation, start talking about breakfast.
Thank you.
what?
Fear?
Fear.
Fear.
For folks who haven't moved in yet, if you go ahead and move in, finish that last sentence. Paul and Lisa, if you would be willing to move in closer, yeah, that would be great. Thank you. Anne, did you have your hands up?
Yeah, I was ready.
Great, thank you. What did you notice?
Well, because I saw something new that I've never seen before. Mm. Imagine that. Let's see. When I went for, I was speaking first, and somebody else mentioned this, but there's just such a feeling of love. I just felt held in love.
Uh-huh.
I just felt absolute trust. And like it didn't matter where I went or how I felt or almost didn't even matter what the other person said.
Uh-huh.
It was that presence that was with me that I really received.
That's
such a gift.
Yeah. So really in being facilitated, that it felt like you were really held and that you really received that as a gift. That it didn't really matter what you were saying, what they were saying in particular. You could have whatever experience you're having, say whatever you're having. And I love the piece of this exercise in particular, those emotions.
Yeah.
Right? And that I can have whatever emotion, whatever experience I'm having. And when I'm being facilitated, it's all fine.
Yeah, and at some point with a clarifying question, it was like, oh, no, that's was it with this, and it so didn't matter. You know, not, yes. It's like what was said didn't matter because I just felt held. You know. Then, it's so interesting the switch. Mm-hmm. So what I saw that I never saw before is my desire to want to give that to another person is used against me. Uh-huh. Because the voices come in and say, like at one point I was reflecting, and then I used a word, and I thought, oh, that's not the word she used. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm the facilitator, conditioning tries to make it about me when I know the experience that it doesn't matter what the facilitator says because what is being received is the presence and the desire to be with that person.
Yes.
And I just had never seen how, and this is so true, no matter what we're doing, that authentic desire to be there for another person is used against us in the sense of, well, you're doing it wrong, and wrong has nothing to do with it.
It has nothing to do with it. And that it was so clear in that experience for you that you knew, having just had the experience yourself, you knew that you so sincerely wanted to have that for the other person, to help provide that. And that the voices use that sincerity against you.
Yeah.
And exactly as you pointed out, no wonder. I mean, it's a perfect thing for it to do, that it's going to pull all the attention to that me, to that I, where that's not what's going on at all.
Yeah.
What's possible is just the presence.
Yeah.
And then to be able to have that expanded awareness that Sherry was pointing at last night, that you were not only really attentive, I project, to what was going on with your partner and wanting to facilitate that, but the awareness was expanded enough to see that that was going on, which then gave you the choice not to go with it, but to stay here and to have that insight.
Yeah, because then I even said, well, I don't know if that's the word you would use. I projected and didn't trip her up at all. You know?
Exactly.
And so to see that what conditioning would make such a huge deal about is nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And such a perfect point that if I go with it and make a huge deal of it, the rest of the interaction is about me.
Yeah.
All my attention is on me, that, I'm trying, even though I really want to get it right for you, right? But it has nothing to do with them.
Yeah, and it was just, you know, it's just such a beautiful example of how our authenticity, all of us, our sincerity, our authenticity is used against us.
Thank you.
All right, Carol.
Which Carol?
Oh. Carol, here. I'm sorry, I didn't see your
name,
Carol. Carol Ferguson.
I thought it was wonderful to be facilitated. It's harder to facilitate.
Can everyone hear her?
Oh.
Wonderful to be facilitated, harder to facilitate.
And what I saw was the conditioning is very strong, not to ask questions. That's prying and... It usually it results in somebody springing back at me, you know. So I guess maybe the household I grew up in, it was like, don't pin me down. When we ask questions. So I tend not to. And then I don't, and we're all orbiting separately and making assumptions, you know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what you noticed in when you were facilitating, it was hard because you were aware of your conditioning not to ask questions. And drawing out and clarifying is part of facilitation is to clarify, to ask questions. Yes. And so this is something we always, when we do facilitated training, we always say that it puts you in touch with your conditioning, that the first place that facilitation works is to be aware of what goes on for you on the cushion and not make a choice for it. Mm-hmm. But if you're not aware of what goes on for you on the cushion, you're going to go with it. You're going to be the you that facilitates, which is, I'm very wary of asking questions, so I'm not going to ask questions.
But not doing that.
What facilitation, so if we have, if it's not something you've practiced, right, Carol? So it's perfectly true that the skill that we have around facilitation is one we have to acquire through practice. And the first place that we look at is what is the ego hijack that could happen for me on the cushion that I choose not to have happen for me on the cushion. But until I know that, then I won't be able to have a choice about it.
You have to see it in order to not have it take you over.
Right, exactly. And to have the experience of asking the question and it being completely fine. And to know that if ego is not on the cushion, and this is the hardest part to get in facilitation, is that all your being is present. So let's just say you asked a question, and what comes in is, that's really skillful. They're going to hate you for it. What's going on for you in that moment, you could absolutely communicate, my apologies if that question wasn't skillful. I didn't mean to throw you up. To trip you up, sorry. Right?
Who ever thought you could just say?
You just say what's going on for you. It's being completely present to, as Anne was demonstrating, oh, I'm not sure I used the right word. Right? That's what's going on for me, and I'm not going with the conversation, but I'm communicating very authentically in this facilitation because all I'm trying to do is to keep ego out of the conversation.
Okay. So when you do that, you're not saying what conditioning is saying, but you're saying what your doubts might be. You're communicating that.
If it's available to you, right?
So that's different than saying what ego is saying.
Say more about what, I'm not sure I understand the question.
I think yesterday it came up like, we know ego is talking, but we just want to ignore it, mm-hmm. and we don't want to be saying, well, ego is telling me this right now or that. But I don't know what it meant exactly, but I think it meant you don't say, I feel really insecure right now. Is that right?
Right. So I think here, let me see if I'm tracking, right? So there's a place in which you're communicating with another person and you're not facilitating them, mm-hmm. right? At which point you could be very present to the present to what's going on for you and being able to say it or not say it. Mm-hmm. All of what we're doing in this retreat is to pay attention to how the conversation is controlling me, mm-hmm. and to know that oftentimes it's ego that's communicating and not me. So when I suffer in a communication, we have a set of tools that we can use to go, okay, really, what's going on for me? What's ego? Do I really have to say something? Can I practice with that like that, right? That's one scenario. When I'm facilitating somebody, I think what was brought to light is when I'm facilitating and being really present to someone in a formal facilitation, it is possible to have me being completely present to the other person, listening to them, and this going on. Uh-huh. I'm just aware that this is going on.
Okay.
But it's not getting my attention, mm-hmm. so I can be completely present to the other person. Now, you could do that when you're not facilitating, too. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's available to you. Say, let's just say you ask a question, and that question, the voice comes in and says, you shouldn't have asked the question. You could just clarify that with the other person you're in conversation with.
I see.
And sorry, I hope I asked the question that was the right one. Forgive me if I didn't. And you just keep moving on, right?
Great. Thank you.
Janet.
So I'm thinking about something that happened yesterday.
Thinking about something that happened yesterday.
Yeah, and it was in facilitating on the recorder, and I was out walking, and I sat down on a bench, and I was listening to my... I was talking in the recorder and then facilitating myself.
Okay, let me just check in. Can folks hear? Yeah? Okay.
And there was a man walking by, and I started like thinking, oh, he looks like he's gonna like come and do something to me, like uh-huh. harm me, do something.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, wait a minute. I talked into the recorder about, wait, this is just happening right now.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking that this man right. is blah, 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 and into the recorder, and then I reflected it. And then what came up next was, I love this so much.
This process?
Yeah.
Of facilitating.
It was like uh-huh. I was talking to myself, like, uh-huh. I love talking to you.
Yes.
Yes. I feel so heard.
Yes.
And what it was I was just like, I think it was what you were just talking about,
yes.
that I was saying what just happened, like, oh, wait a second, yes. I just got lost for a minute.
Yes.
Now I'm back.
Yes.
And in to myself, it was like, oh, I was so received.
Yes.
It's like, what else can we do now? This is so great.
Exactly. Now someone do something interesting. Let's try interesting. Now surprise me, okay? I'll just be here. You surprise me. Yeah.
But it was like nothing, you know, it wasn't like, oh my God, look what just happened. Your mind just went there. You just thought this man was going to do this stuff. What's wrong with you?
Yes.
You're on retreat.
You're not supposed to be paying attention to other people. If you hadn't been, if you'd have custody of the attention, then you wouldn't have. You know, Janet, it's such a perfect example of what's possible for us, which is to go through life being facilitated and facilitating. Mm-hmm. Because facilitation is truly the tool that allows us to be present. And that's what you're describing, right? I mean, again, it's what we've been talking about, that when we're here, whatever we're attending to, there's love. It is the process of love. Mm. So, you know, this thing happens in the environment, and then instead of kind of, it's so funny because what we're conditioned to do is like, okay, that happened, let me just either survive that or deal with that or wait for that to pass and then get back to what I was doing.
Let's delete this. Start again.
Literally or metaphorically, right? As if that's possible. Right? Delete this as if this, whatever this is, isn't the moment. This is my life. And that's what I project dropped in for you, is this is what's here now.
Right.
And so you
facilitated
that.
And that's where that place came of feeling so connected and so heard and so like, whoa.
Yes, yes.
Like, I can talk, I can say anything.
Anything. And I can say anything. Anything can happen. And then you facilitated yourself through it. And then there was that, I love you. I love this, right? This experience of being here with whatever's going on and to be facilitated through it, to be present to all of it.
Mm. Yeah. I was really with you until you said, and anything can happen.
Uh-huh.
And then I just... going.
Say more.
Well, it was like, no, I don't believe that. Like, if something had happened to me, that wouldn't have been okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
It's like, okay, that was okay.
Yeah.
It was like, I just got hijacked again right there.
Uh-huh, and you saw it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly, so something did happen. You got pulled off.
Yeah.
And then you saw that because the awareness was expanded, and you facilitated yourself to come back here.
Yeah, and it had a real felt sense to it.
Yeah. Yes, which is also really good to see.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's what Ashwini was talking about yesterday. It's the process map. When we realize, so that's a place on the process map. Mm-hmm. That's a powerful place where it can pull you off. But when you're more and more aware of that, that simply becomes a cue of, oh, there's that thing that happens.
Mm.
Let me come back here. Right?
Yeah.
And then we can even use our tools. Right? So in the same way I just said, tell me more about that, we can say that to ourselves, right? Say more about that. What goes on for you when that happens? Right? And we can draw ourselves out in that way and really begin, to, instead of being afraid of it, we can begin to explore it and be with it.
Mm. So good. Mm. Thank you.
Okay. Rebecca.
So when I was talking about what I get angry about, you know,
yes.
I was.
Can everyone hear Rebecca?
Oh, I can speak up. I went right into the story, and I was right there, and I was getting into it. And then my buddy reflected. And in that moment, when she jumped in and reflected, in that moment, I had this expanded awareness and a realization that I had forgotten that this is a facilitation exercise.
Uh-huh.
And in that realization, gosh, it was like one moment. I mean, It's like the energy of one little atom being split open. In that one little moment, I got it that I was wrong for having done, had collapsed awareness. I need to be a different way. I need to stay in the collapsed awareness. It wasn't okay to get that involved in that story. All of those things were in that one little moment when she reflected and I realized when attention expanded.
Uh-huh. And so there's a... So you got into the story, and when your partner started to reflect, there was an awareness of all of the conditioning rushing in, right? Mm-hmm. In a particular moment, there was all that conditioning rushing in. Where did that leave you?
I think it left me more careful.
Uh-huh. So did, if I may project onto that, it left you more careful. Would you say that caused you to get more identified?
Identified with something else.
Identified with something else. Yeah.
Yeah. And the something else was a kind of a imitation expanded awareness.
Uh-huh. An imitation expanded awareness. Uh-huh. So now I have to get really careful. So there's this, I would project in different words, there was a heightened self-consciousness. Self-consciousness.
Yeah, because what happened was I was still talking and still enjoying the story, but I knew there was somebody watching me now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To make sure that I didn't completely lose myself in the story again. Because that can't happen.
Yeah, yeah. That you were aware of being of the scrambler operating to say, don't say this or say it in this way. Be careful.
It wasn't actually even don't say this. It was much more of an energetic warning.
An energetic warning.
Don't lose yourself again in this story.
Uh-huh.
You can say whatever you want, but you can't just go. You can't go, and here's the deal that I would really appreciate some clarity on, and that is, I thought that the losing yourself in the story was a collapse of awareness, but now I'm wondering if that's not, you know what I mean?
Yes, and it would be wonderful to explore with the recorder.
Yeah.
Right, because the interesting part to me, right, Rebecca, to bring it back to facilitation rather than just an exploration of the process that was happening for you, is that what tends to happen to us in a communication is here we are pouring our hearts out, completely engaged in speaking from authenticity, right? What's going on for me at the bottom of the well? The voice comes in and says, "Don't do that. That's a collapsed awareness place. You can't actually reach for and be in touch with your emotions." Right? So now there's that self-consciousness, and whatever is doing the talking is part of an identification. And if we're in a facilitation interaction, is it possible for us to be able to start talking about what it's doing to us as a way to be facilitated out of it?
Yeah.
Rather than being facilitated into it, which is what this is doing all the time. It's basically getting you from being here, completely in what it is that you're talking about, to being drawn from it. So it's a different kind of drawing out, right? It's drawing you into, okay, so then what do I do? My attention, which was all here, is now all here. Mm-hmm. Using language that's going to snag you.
Yeah.
So if I'm supposed to be present, then is presence equal to being completely involved in the story and losing myself? Or is presence being someone who's aware of not losing themselves, but being wholeheartedly in the story? That conundrum could take you off to for eternity to debate that.
It could define a person's practice for a long time.
That's right. Try and noodle that, right?
Yeah.
The exit is really, oh my God, I'm seeing this, and to get the to this is the self-facilitation we're talking about. I noticed that. What I want to do is to stop being engaged in that conversation and facilitate myself out. And the easiest way to do that is to report what you're seeing. And if you have a mirror that's facilitating you, then the attention gets drawn out of this conversation to a more authentic you.
Yes, and that is what Sherry was pointing to last night when she said the practitioner's role is to turn on the recorder.
Yes.
That's pretty much it.
Yes.
And because if there's a habit of getting in there and meddling with what's going on between the mentor and the authentic human, that is just prime time for ego to slide in.
Yeah, exactly, and it's what Jen was pointing to earlier, which is the practitioner wants to be able to facilitate the human being's interaction with the mentor. Right? That's exactly what you're saying. And Anna said it too. You're being the thing that reflects either authenticity or the authentic human being and not ego. But you have to be aware of the quality of the identification in order to be able to know that the facilitation is now happening between the human being and ego.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Which is what I just point, what I facilitated you to see, is what you can facilitate yourself to see. Because that quality of noodling is a signature of engaging with ego.
Yeah, and just one last thing, I think, and that is that the structure, at least in my life, because I'm involved in practice, is in place for that to happen, and I guess it's just that, I guess what I'm hearing, okay, so what's going on for me right now is that I'm hearing this. Okay, so how are we going to, and then we got, okay, it's again, it's pseudo-enthusiasm or pseudo-whatever, and it's the attention registers that, and awareness is sort of tapping that, hey, I think that's not authenticity there.
Yeah, let's just get back here.
Yeah.
Let's see, Todd.
I just had a question in terms of, would it be helpful to, I made a recording, and then I'm listening to it and I'm reflecting that recording.
Okay.
Then would it be helpful to have another recorder?
It's funny you say that.
And record me reflecting myself.
Right. You know, it's funny you say that, Todd. I was just looking at that myself yesterday. I could see us getting into, and the third recorder will, and the fourth one will. And what have you seen about that that sort of brought that up, would you say?
Well, I think when I was doing it, I was just like, this is helpful. This is really helpful.
Isn't it amazing?
It's nice to be able to hear myself.
Yes.
Really supporting myself.
Yes.
And being that for myself.
Isn't it? It's so moving. It's so moving. And I think it allows us to experience all of it, right? Just like folks were pointing at this morning. The guy who's having whatever experience he's having gets to have it. And then I get to have the experience of being with him. In the way that, very likely for a lot of us, we're used to being there for folks we love in our lives. But it tends to be so new to be with, quote, me in that way. And to get to witness that, I mean, the layers of it are just extraordinary.
So it will be helpful.
Yeah, I'm going to play with it, right? Yeah.
I think we'll take one more. Penny.
I was struck by how the process of facilitation generates interest.
How the process of facilitation generates interest.
Because when we were just having the conversation, I mean, it's so similar to conversations where, you know, somebody says something and you're like, yeah, and, but each of you is really in your own world. Mm-hmm. And you can walk away from those feeling lonely,
yes.
Even though you feel like you've connected.
Mm-hmm. So, can everyone hear her?
So
even though you've connected, you walk away from those interactions feeling lonely.
Or you might, anyway.
Or you might.
But when I'm facilitating, the process of listening and asking questions and drawing out and reflecting generates interest. And I think that that's one of the reasons why ego doesn't want me to facilitate. It doesn't want us to facilitate it, because literally it generates the connection that it doesn't want to have happen.
Yes. That the separation can't be maintained, mm-hmm. right? That I think the phrasing is so interesting, right? When ego is not there, the experience we have, one variation of it is love because of attention. The other is interest,
yeah.
Curiosity,
yeah.
Being present, wanting to know.
Mm-hmm.
And so having ego not involved in that interaction, however it is, right? So in a regular conversation, someone says something and I might respond. But if I'm responding from me, it's a very different, it still maintains the separation, no, even though the construct is supposed to create the connection.
Right.
So a genuine facilitation is where we experience being interested.
Yes, and in doing that, what I was hearing in this facilitation that I hadn't caught was, and so it breaks down the loneliness, both in terms of the interaction, but internally as well.
Yes,
because it brings me into such presence that I'm here too for me.
Yes,
in a way that doesn't leave me abandoned.
Oh, that is so well put, Penny. Because I think what loneliness is, loneliness for all of us, has been the absence of the other, but it's really the absence of me,
mm-hmm.
where something is interfering between my experience of being part of all that is.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to get out of the relationship with separation and into the relationship of being here, because only then am I truly not lonely.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And conditioning would say, well, if you have all your attentions focused on this other person, that's self-abandonment, but it's just the opposite.
It's just the opposite. Mm-hmm. Exactly so.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
Did anyone know when the next reflective listening buddy signed up?
Rebecca.
It is going on now, and it the deadline is tomorrow at 5:00. So, yeah, and if people can't get to a computer by tomorrow at 5:00 Pacific time, I'm sure if they write to reflection@livingcompassion.org, we can work.
Or post a note, and we'll make sure you get signed up.
We're talking about the sign-up period for Reflective Listening Buddies.
Oh.